My name is Laird.
I'm Rafi.
And this is What We Dig, the podcast where we talk about Toronto delicious, scrumptious stuff and awesome things going on in the world. Mm. So I'm going to open this week's out with, and I think it's prudent to do it at this time of year. A lot of people create the song of the summer list at the beginning of the summer. That makes no sense. Mm. I noticed when I was doing some research just to double check to see if I was, you know, on base with my guesses. Mm-hmm. And all of them from like June. Right? The summer's barely started yet. You haven't even settled into it. Nobody's been on the sand. Yeah. Things haven't been overplayed, all that kind of stuff. So right. I felt like it was weird that there were so many that are just like predicting it. Mm-hmm. No, have one that's in the middle or at the end of the summer that says, this is the song of the summer.
Yeah. So what's your song of the summer?
My song of the summer is down to probably four.
Four.
Yeah. Like four possibilities, and I'll say the four possibilities, and I'll tell you what my actual thought is of the song of the summer.
Okay.
Now, first, let's talk about what makes a candidate for the song of the summer. So, in our opinion, just to make sure that, you know, it's a level playing field. So, one is you got to hear it everywhere.
Okay.
So, like, you're in malls, you're driving around, you're hearing people blasted at the top of the volume in their cars.
Yeah.
You're eating dinner, you're playing regular radio stations, and they're playing that song.
Right.
And it draws a reaction out of you. Right? So, like, you know, you're hearing it all the time. It's catchy. And, you know, you might dance. You might shake. You might even find yourself singing the lyrics accidentally out of nowhere for no reason just because it's got that kind of earworm aspect of it. So those are the attributes of what I feel like makes a song of the summer. And so here's my list of the song of the summer.
Starting from four or starting from one?
Let's start from four. Because I think four is the most interesting, because this is one that might catch you off guard.
Okay.
Because it's big. If you go spend any time in cottage country, if you spend any time outside of the city, you hear this song everywhere.
Okay.
And it's this song called, it's a song by, I apologize if I mispronounce it, but it's by BB Rexha.
Okay.
And it's a song called Meant to Be.
Okay.
And it's actually a R&B country fusion. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of a country artist.
Cool.
But if I played you the song, you'd think it's a country song. But there's so much that's hip-hop and R&B in it that it really sounds like modern pop. And
so,
and I mean, like, a lot of modern country sounds like, you know, not necessarily hip-hop, but it's a little more influenced by modern beats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing this song, but it goes, I'll just say, just to see if you recognize it, it'll be, baby, it was meant to be. That's that song.
Maybe I've heard it, but it sounds like when, you know, you go to an Indian restaurant and they call it fusion.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're trying to have this Indian food, and it's not Indian food at all. It feels Polish.
Butter pierogies.
What the hell? That's what it sounds like. I mean, I bet you there are country musicians out there going, "What the hell?"
I'm sure there are, but I mean, that sometimes means progress. And I do hear what you're saying in terms of the fusion aspect, but it's hilarious because I don't find when I'm in the city, I hear that song really at all. I do not hear it.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm outside of the city, I hear it everywhere. It plays on every, you'll hear it in people's backyards, all that kind of stuff. We have friends that live up north that we went to visit. They were playing it. Like, again, it was a pretty popular song that came out this year. So that's my number four. So I thought that's the most interesting and probably the most long-winded.
You know, it could be also nothing to do with the song. I mean, it could be the message. You know, it'll be. It's just a maybe very outside Toronto mantra. You know, it'll just be whatever. You know, everything will be fine.
Yeah, things are.
Whereas in Toronto, we're more real.
You know, it's not going to be unless you make it be.
You got to work hard.
Exactly.
You know, you got to put in the effort.
You need to focus. Listen, yeah, hold on. Freeze frame on that. People outside of Toronto, hard workers.
What we dig, crew,
yes.
Shows up here.
Yes.
You know, for this podcast.
Yes.
We wake up early, bro.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's damn early.
Yeah. So, you know, it won't be. This podcast won't be.
No. It won't be unless we woke up early. In all fairness, I gotta say, I think that's unfair. I think it's hilarious, your message. But for the record, I find that people that are outside of the city work even harder, but differently.
Mm.
Right? So, like, that's more of the folks that I know are more, you know, blue collar oriented stuff. Do I want to go outside and, like, be in the sun for hours and hours and hours?
Yeah.
That's tough work, man.
You know, so that's why you get a machine to do the job. Yeah. You know? You get that combine harvester. You get rid of your cows and oxes and asses and whatever you use. Plow the land.
Why are you using your hands? Like, I think that's hilarious. There's a hilarious, like, city bubble person line. Like, wait a second. Are they using their hands? That doesn't make any sense. Right? People use their hands. There's still quite a bit of manual labor that's required. But anyways, we digress. It meant to be his name is Song by Bebe Rexha. The third one, which I think you're very familiar with and I think would probably be on your list, is Drake's Nice for What?
No.
Okay. I the reason why I make that statement is because I hear it everywhere.
Spring. It's not a summer song.
Well, no. To me, a summer song is one that normally come out late spring, early summer, and own the summer.
Yeah, but okay, go on.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's why I would put it in this.
Fair enough, but I don't think that's the song that's there. But
that's okay. Cool. That's cool. You're entitled to disagree with that, but I think Drake Nice for What because it meets all the attributes. One Kiss by Calvin Harris.
Oh, yeah.
And
I can see, yeah.
And that one is everywhere, is catchy. I actually feel pretty good every time I hear it. So if I hear that Bebe Rexha song, if I hear that Drake song, it's catchy, but I mean, it doesn't really evoke that much emotion out of me, but it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. But when I hear that Calvin Harris song, I actually feel something.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of like mid-90s techno, but with a bit of a modern spin, and so there's a bit of nostalgia, a bit of new, a little bit of everything in it. So anyways, that's one. But the last one, and I think this is the one that is the song of the summer, is Cardi B's Like It Like That. That is one that I hear everywhere. Yeah. And it evokes a feeling. I want to dance. I want to move.
Is it the Maroon 5 one?
No, that's a different song. That was one that I was debating, but I don't hear that everywhere.
Okay.
I hear that moderately.
Yeah.
But I'd say like the four I just mentioned, I'm hearing in people's cars, trucks, radio stations, outside, just music that's playing. Mm. And it evokes a positive feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think to me, the title, which is crazy because a lot of people were saying how, you know, Cardi B is kind of, you know, really taken over.
Yeah.
That's a huge sign if you are one of the candidates of taking over. And then as a side note, I want you to tell me your list, but as a side note, I was hopeful of DJ Khaled's new song with Justin Bieber, Chance, but two issues with it. You don't release a song in the summer in the middle of the summer. That's why I was saying, like, spring, beginning of the summer, that's where you release it. That gives people time to digest it, and to play out there. Maybe they make it for like the university beginning of school year period, but not now. And then I think two things kind of rub me the wrong way with that is I actually loved the tune when I first heard it.
Yeah.
Then I watched the video and it ruined it for me. The video was one giant blatant advertisement. It was, imagine people with emotionless faces holding bottles that they clearly got paid to hold to advertise for it. So it was one, and then candy pens as well, which is like a vape thing, or also blatantly advertised within there as well. So it felt like, the trick is you have to have a commercial where it's naturally there, not that you're holding out in front of a camera to clearly show that you're holding bottles. I don't think they're allowed to consume, and I don't think they were permitted to consume because of the audience. Like if kids are watching it, they won't, but they can have candy pens. Anyways, so there was something a little bit weird, but that could have been if they released it earlier and had a little bit of a different promo behind it. So what were yours? Yours this summer? What were your favorite? What was your song of the summer?
Well, before I jump into that, I think you talked about Drake's...
Nice for What?
Nice for What, yes. Okay. You said Nice for What was this one, number four or number five,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I think that's the spring song because he really came out in spring.
Yeah.
I think the song of the summer from Drake's point of view is In My Feelings, because look at all the memes that are out there.
Yeah, you know, that's totally fair.
Yeah, all the kids jumping out of their cars, you know. It's,
well, there have been laws and public announcements that have encouraged people to stay inside the car.
Right? So I think that automatically becomes song of the summer.
When you get that level of viral and that level of societal impact.
You're on your summer drive in your RV or whatever car, station wagon, and all you see is "Please don't get out of your car." I think that makes it the song of the summer. But with that said, although I like that song, that's not my song of the summer. My song of the summer is Childish Gambino's "Summertime Magic."
Yeah, no, and you know what? Like, that's a tough one for me because It definitely got the summer feel, mm-hmm. But from a popularity, from the examples we gave, are where I hear it everywhere, mm-hmm. And you know, bumping in people's cars and stuff like that. That one, not so much from my respect and love of Childish Gambino. I want to say yes to that, but just again, the popularity is not there. I think the In My Feelings example is much of a stronger argument, just because of its impact. I think Childish Gambino threw almost like a three pointer. Like, hey, everybody, I'm going to give a shot at the side of the summer, the song of the summer. Mm-hmm. Here's a two-song EP. They were both dynamite songs, mm-hmm. but didn't have the same level of impact of somebody like did some sort of dance or something to make them more popular or viral.
But he already went viral with the whole This Is America,
yes,
right?
Drake's been owning it for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Just because you get one game winner doesn't mean that you can't get more game winners.
Exactly.
Jordan wasn't a great, and LeBron's not a great because they got one game winner.
No, they got
it. Multiple.
No, but in this case, you know, what I'm trying to say is, yes, there's the banger aspect of it, you know, how is it played in the radios and whatnot, right?
Yep.
But what I'm saying is, when I'm listening to this song, does it make me feel like summer?
Yes, gotcha. No, I respect them, and I like your choices. So anyways, I'm going to pivot now to a bit of a gripe I'm having. And that gripe is, why do all the new trains always have way less comfortable seats? That doesn't make any sense to me. Right. If you're going to upgrade, you know, do something that's comfortable. Put some cushions in there. Make it modern, but make it, you know, comfortable.
It's meant to be, bro.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable because it's meant to be.
It's meant to be.
All right. Well, no, that's a fair statement. But let me break down a quick example. So I walk into a freshly air-conditioned train on a GO train ride.
Yep.
Fell asleep.
Yep.
In a new train.
Yep.
And hit my head on something many times as I started to pass out. Mm-hmm. It was the least comfortable. You know, a GO train is designed for, you're there for a bit of a long haul.
Right.
You're not there for, you know, a short stint. Right. And you're probably getting seating.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the TTC life is, you're probably standing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get a seat, you're lucky, or you're at a very different time of day. Mm-hmm. So I just don't get it. I don't, like, so you're saying one is a deterrent for homeless. Sure, that's fair.
Yeah.
But what about the suburb people?
It's meant to be, bro.
Maybe it's meant to be.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
I do wonder about that. Like, and with TTC, I find the exact same thing. You see a new train, you're like, oh, air conditioning's amazing, but these seats are like basically wooden.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe they don't look at it.
Hey, man, listen. As someone who you know lives 5 minutes away, I can't empathize. Nor do I give a shit.
In my region, we don't have these problems.
We really don't. You know, I sleep in my bed until when I need to wake up, and I get to work when I need to get to work. It's rough for you.
Yeah. I'm living second world in a first world area. Anyways, I thought that was kind of weird. Like, it's a trend that I'm noticing, and it drives me nuts. Just because, you know, they're spending all this money on these trains.
Yeah.
And give an ergonomics person a call.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe not have it set up so somebody can pass out on a train.
Yeah, but I mean,
like,
you know,
lay down.
In seriousness, though, we're the only G7 country, mm-hmm. and we don't have a high-speed rail.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, imagine
that,
being a modern country, and you don't even have a high-speed rail that can take you from Toronto to Montreal in 3 hours.
Yeah,
we could do that.
Yes.
The infrastructure doesn't allow that.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you have feedback or complaints about why they spend money on these things and it's so uncomfortable, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm the
overall design is already flawed. That's like driving a car that doesn't drive and complaining that the lights don't work inside properly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You need to drive first.
Yeah.
So no, that's completely fair. But anyways, that's something that's been bothering me. The next thing I want to talk about really briefly is something that I'm anticipating in the very near future, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm going to be calling the video streaming wars.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason why this even came on is because there was a great trailer for a series within DC Comics, mm-hmm. Called Young Justice, and they're doing a new season of Young Justice, and a Batman series, Comic Book Geek, whatever. But Disney plans on releasing their own streaming service because they're pulling out of Netflix, so mm-hmm. Netflix will no longer be carrying Disney stuff.
Yep.
D- DC is creating their own. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be pulling their stuff from Netflix so that it's DC only. Mm-hmm. And what could end up happening is you might end up paying for like 3 or 4 or more mm-hmm. streaming services. HBO might decide to do the same thing. I mean, they're not really down that path yet, but they may decide to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious because a lot of our generation and younger are basically tapping out of paying for regular cable.
Right.
Right. Like, so we don't want to pay for regular cable.
Okay.
Now, the interesting part is I feel like we're all paying for internet, so the cable companies are still getting that internet money. But the hilarious thing is the money that we would have been putting towards cable is likely going to go towards streaming services now.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, we actually net out at the same. Mm-hmm. The only difference is we're not paying a local company anymore. And some of them are pretty huge conglomerates. So, like, I can't say totally local, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not, at least when I'm paying for Bell Canada, mm-hmm. I know I'm paying for Bell Canada.
But they're still making money off the internet, though.
They are, yeah. But within comparison, you know, if I'm paying DC or Disney, mm-hmm. that money doesn't stay in Canada, right? Number one.
Sure. Okay.
Number two, I'm paying a completely different company outside
of. Where are they filming, though?
Sometimes here.
Yeah.
Sometimes they film in Canada. Not all the time, but sometimes.
No, there's a lot of. Okay, it's not all the time, but yeah. At the same time, it's not all the time that that Bell would be spending their money locally.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Take the good with the bad. I'm not too worried about that. What I am worried about is all these little silos that they're creating. I'm probably, if DC pulls out their youngest, I'm not going to go out there and pay for DC. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you know why? Yeah, I just can't manage that many bills.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I can't. Yeah. I'm trying to consolidate.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need
four. I'm in an era of simplification.
Yeah. I don't need 5 or 6 charges coming on my credit card. I don't. Yeah. I want to see that. One charge, Spotify, done.
Yeah.
You know, like.
One charge, Spotify, one charge, Netflix,
yeah.
or Amazon Prime, or whatever I'm using for
exactly.
my streaming service.
Exactly. And that's it.
Yeah, no, I agree. From the consumer standpoint, it's terrible.
I don't want to see 4 or 5 charges at different times now, you know, because they don't all have the same billing cycle. You have it on the 5th and you're 10th, and you're, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that.
Yeah.
So what I do see for people like myself, if you pull your content,
yeah.
please do it, because I'm just going to pirate that. I'm telling you before,
I'm preparing you streaming services that right. you know there's a very high likelihood, and I will neither confirm or deny that I will do this, but a very high likelihood that your viewership will shift to pirating.
Yeah, you'll never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you know what's going to happen? These guys will silo out. They'll maybe 10 years, they'll try to run it. Some will be very successful, others not so successful, and they'll just go back to consolidating.
Yes.
And that's how just market works.
Yeah, no, that's right? true. So I think they're trying this out. They're probably testing this out, seeing how it works. If it works, they'll keep it and collect that money. If it doesn't work, then they'll do what they say. But my guess is there's going to have to be and Netflix is technically already like this.
Yeah.
But I think that their payment model is different. Like their
I'm already tired of Netflix. Model.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because I'm tired of not being able to see what I want to watch. I'm already frustrated with that. Like, there was the other day I wanted to watch a movie with my wife, and it wasn't on Netflix, and that's it, because it's not on Netflix. Now I don't get to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, you have to pay for it normally. You can go through Google Play or through Apple.
No, but that's my point. Yeah. At least they have that option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They
what you're coming up with is actually a pretty cool pricing model. So if they were to, that's actually a very good idea.
Because
if Netflix had a pay-as-you-go for the stuff that they don't have licensed,
right.
then you might chip in that extra $3.
I just wanted to watch this freaking movie.
Yeah. You don't have to cut it off. I'd imagine there's a lot of legal and other stuff that probably goes into that for them
as well. But what's pay-per-view, though? Right? You know?
But there's a lot of legal that goes into that, too. I'm just saying, like, within comparison, they already have pre-existing agreements with, like, Apple Music and stuff like that, or Google Play, where you can buy it outright, and that money goes to where it goes.
Yeah.
If they were to set up the model, which I think that you're talking about is kind of great. It's a pay-as-you-go. I would definitely sacrifice a few dollars if I really wanted to watch one thing.
So what I do, and I'm letting you on a secret. Sometimes I like to binge watch
mm-hmm.
the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes.
I just do. It just makes me feel good.
Yeah,
something bad happens in the world, I would like to watch that.
You didn't buy a Blu-rays?
No. There are other solutions. Yes, there are other solutions in the world. But what I'm trying to say is that if I'm paying for Netflix, I'm paying for convenience.
Yeah.
I'm not paying so I can go find Blu-rays.
Yes.
You know, I'm I'm paying for convenience, and it really frustrates me when I turn my TV on and that's not an option.
Yes.
And they give me related to.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's almost like it teases you. It's almost like, I want a burger. Well, we have a sausage.
Yeah. I have a chicken sandwich. Would you like that? It's not crispy chicken, by the way. Why?
Just don't even offer me. Don't let me know. It'll just make me mad. It'll remind me even more that you don't have it, and will show me stuff I don't want. Yeah, so that's but I think that's a pretty cool concept of what you just described of a pay-as-you-go, almost like a Netflix Plus. Yeah.
So just to sum that up, go ahead. You're just going through a whole vicious cycle for 10 years, causing consumer headache. Mm-hmm. At the end, I'm probably going
to
be all right.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. We'll just have to, but anyways, I feel like the video stream wars are coming.
It's meant to be.
That should probably be in the title of this podcast. It's meant to be. Okay, so a couple other things I want to talk about. One is my music suggestion for this week. And I want to give a shout out to a guy named Jacob, a work colleague named Jacob, that recommended this person to me. His name is Yuno.
Yeah.
And Yuno is like Animal Collective meets M83, meets hip hop in a way. It's kind of like a dream pop type sound. A guy from Florida. Makes all of his stuff in like his basement, and has like just kind of and also Tame Impala. So if I were to throw that M83, Tame Impala, Animal Collective, and hip hop all into one thing, which sounds like a very bizarre combination, but that's really what his sound is.
I'd say more Tame Impala.
Yeah.
More Tame Impala, and I really liked his music. It reminded me of this is what it reminds me of, not. The pre-party,
yes.
When you're going about on a Friday or Saturday night, it's not the pre-party, it's summer Saturdays.
Yeah.
It's not the party itself.
Yep.
It's not even as you're exiting the club party. It's when you're back at your house and you're with your crew and you look at your watch and you go like, you know what, we can go for another 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that's when this comes
that's
on.
That's when that comes in, yeah.
Because it's not mellow where you're now about to, you know, do that you up text.
Yes, yeah.
It's not
the eggplant text.
Yeah, it's not that yet. It's not that music. It's the, you just got back with your homies and your friends and you just, trying to unwind, trying to talk about what happened, you know?
Yeah,
like, oh my God.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Denise?
Yeah. Or whoever? Or telling stories about the evening and the adventures that you had.
Yeah.
So I'd agree with that. I'd say the feeling that I get of it is two things. One is it makes me think of a drive, like a good commute, like if you're going on a journey somewhere.
Very different from what I just all said.
It is. But I think what you described fits. And that's the great thing about music is that it can fit so many different scenarios. And I would say I would like to listen to it in the circumstance you just described.
Also because of your, you know, you living in Barrie.
I'll just say commuting is a very big part
of your life. Yeah.
Every song sounds like a commuting song to me.
It's so true. No, hey, Rafa, this song.
I just think of driving. I just think of like going somewhere. I would say like the actual feeling that I get from it is that, you know, when you're driving to Montreal, it's one of the albums you put on and you don't know where you're going to go.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Like it's kind of journey to unknown, but it's a journey. And the other interesting thing that you probably didn't notice when you listened to it is that it's actually fuzzy sad. Or sad fuzzy, I'd call it. There was a term that my friend and I used to use for like really sad singer songwriter that just like, you know, just makes you cry and is really, really sad. I like some of that, but I didn't like listening to it all the time.
Yeah.
This I would call sad fuzzy.
Okay.
The whole album's about a breakup.
Is it?
Oh. The whole album is about sad things.
Oh, okay.
But the way that he's produced the album is all happy sounding music.
Yeah.
Right? So as you said, it's like in the unwinding, catching up with friends scenario, it fits perfect from a sound standpoint.
Yeah.
But from a lyrical standpoint, very, very different.
But very sad.
Exactly. Yeah. I would just give you a couple examples of track names. You got No Going Back.
Yep.
right? Which is, you know, basically so slow, time moving slowly after you go through a breakup. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of things that are on here. But anyways, I thought it was very cool because it kind of fools a listener. Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Random guy from Florida, just mm-hmm. a great album. So we'll play you a little bit of a sample of You Know. The album is called Moody. I believe that's actually his last name. Yeah. But it's hilarious because the context of the album is kind of moody, post-breakup. And it's called Moody, but M-O-O-D-I-E. So this is a sample of You Know. You Know, hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you can throw on his album while unwinding with some friends to recollect of the crazy funness of the previous evening.
Because I think, or if you're on a road trip to Regina,
if I'm going to the prairies, yeah. On a road trip to the prairies,
yeah. It's meant to be, bro.
Probably a probably song of the summer in the prairies meant to be. Pivoting to the great restaurant that we got to do this week. Mm. And I'm going to do a little bit of a precursor to probably our next podcast and our next episode, because something kind of cool happened. But the Magic Noodle. Mm. And the Magic Noodle was a pretty amazing place.
It was?
I liked the Magic Noodle a lot because I hadn't really been subjected, and it's always a bit of an entry level to subject you to the Chinese pulled noodle. Mm-hmm. So if you're from Toronto, you're not somebody who's that familiar with Chinese pulled noodles. Chinese pulled noodles are basically another method of making noodles fresh in the same way like
how
fresh
can you
pasta.
Be from Toronto and not familiar to that? That's
I'm familiar with like noodles. I'm familiar with ramen. I'm familiar with a lot of traditional Chinese food. I have a big part of my family that's Chinese, mm-hmm. And I've had traditional foods that way, but I hadn't really experienced a pulled noodle.
Yeah.
And I mean, how can I say I know that noodles would have been made fresh,
yeah.
And I've had areas where like I've had, but I didn't know how they made it.
Yeah.
I just knew that they were freshly made and they tasted a little different. So the pulled method and the knife cut method were two.
You liked that,
cool.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, that was yeah. It was like a good variety of. Yeah. Well, because it's like a dance. It's like mm-hmm. It's like watching. It's like foreplay to eating noodles.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you don't often get to see what a chef does and how they make it. They just serve you whatever masterpiece they decide to throw out at you. Mm-hmm. But part of the experience of Chinese pulled noodle is watching their preparation, and it's wild to me how quickly that they made it. So I was also impressed that they've really catered to a vegetarian option there as well. So they had some veggie options. But the hilarious part is what blew our minds, because we really enjoyed the noodles, and you'll hear it in our visits, stuff like that. We really enjoyed you know, just the options they had, whether knife cut or hand pulled. But their popcorn chicken, mm-hmm. bruh. Okay.
Yeah.
Their popcorn chicken. Their trick is, I think, two things. I think they use dark meat in their popcorn chicken, and I find it's a little bit greasier. It's a little bit different of a flavor and texture.
It's real meat.
Yeah, it's dark meat is real meat where I come from.
Yeah,
but it's they use the dark meat, but then the actual marination was amazing. So they marinated that chicken, then breaded it. So the flavor, normally when you eat popcorn chicken, there's no flavor in the chicken.
Yeah.
It's basically the breading that gives you, and is how they fry it, and the seasoning, you know, the kernel spices they put on it.
Right.
This one was all in the chicken.
Okay.
And then breaded, and then they had a sauce that, like, just beautifully complemented it.
Right.
It was unexpected, and it blew our minds. But
nice.
Anyways, and so the experience altogether was like a sight for the eyes, mm-hmm. an experience of flavor, mm-hmm. and then even in terms of the textures, because we had a cold noodle and a hot noodle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the cold noodle was more like a salad noodle.
Yeah.
The hot noodle was like a traditional, you know, soup or ramen or Chinese soup concept. But I found that it was interesting because I'm not a master chopstick artist.
Yeah.
And I have experience with chopsticks, but I'm not a master by any means. Yeah. And I found it really easy to eat the cold noodle because it was sticky.
Yeah.
But then the hot noodle was a little bit more slippery, so it really tested my skill.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to upgrade your chopstick skills, then you might be, you know, middle run. Yeah. But anyways, I love the place.
Yeah, why are we talking about this now? Because, you know, summertime it doesn't last forever. In the north, it gets really cold.
Yeah.
So right now, if you want that salad noodle that you're talking about,
cold salad.
It's really
strong move.
Strong move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But guess what? When that winter comes by,
you know where to go.
You know where to
go. You know where to heat up.
Yeah, we take care of you.
Yeah. See what we try to do?
Yeah.
We try to take care of you. The audience. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Go to Magic Noodle.
Yes, it was. It was a bit of a magical experience. Again,
get the popcorn chicken.
And I'd highly recommend, if you're going to go with a group, get the popcorn chicken, share it. It's a good portion.
Don't share it. What?
Why am I sharing fantastic stuff? Yeah. I need to share perfection.
They can pay for it for themselves.
Let your friends order. Bring your crew. Have them each order their own popcorn chicken. And you don't get to share it.
Yeah.
If they decide not to order, you don't share it either. You make sure you give them that. You maintain eye contact as you take each bite and not share it with them.
You go, yeah, that's right. That's right. I had it.
I made the right choice.
That dark meat.
The right choice, the wrong choice. Noodles look a little soft there, buddy.
Yeah.
Should have gone for the popcorn chicken.
Should have gone for the popcorn chicken.
Anyways, our journey, and here's our visit to the Magic Noodle. It was great. There's many, many locations in the city. So whether you're in Markham, you're downtown, you can find one pretty easy. But here's our visit to the Magic Noodle. Some complex foods can be considered simple at first glance. The Chinese pulled noodle preparation is one of those. It's mesmerizing. Like an elegant dance before a party. There are not many experiences that build up your hunger so beautifully. It's easy to take a noodle for granted, but not at a place like this.
Today we're having Magic Lamb, Szechuan Spicy Cold Noodle, and Popcorn Chicken.
My name's Laird.
I'm Allie.
And here's what we dig. We are at the Magic Noodle, which is the corner of Harvard and Robert Street. Now, the Magic Noodle is a specialized location that has a specialized technique of pulling noodles. It's a method of making Chinese noodles where they're hand-pulled, made fresh to order, every day, every time.
Our owner, his name is Zhao Shupo, and he's from southern, eastern part of China. He's a noodle master of hand-pulled noodle, and He got trained in China and developed his skills there, and then immigrated to Canada.
They have great vegetarian and non-vegetarian options, so anybody is welcome. They welcome both diets. This area is primarily known for being around UFT, so the prices are actually relatively reasonable. So it's a great place if you're visiting your kids to come and grab some noodles, grab some lunch, and enjoy time with the family. They have hot noodles, they have cold noodles. So if you want a snack, a lunch, and you're in the UFT Harvard Village area, come down to the Magic Noodle and enjoy your food.
What are we having today?
So first one we're gonna have is Magic Lamb. We hand pull the noodle and we cook it, and then we add some stock. Then topping with the lamb shoulder, the dates, and the gochi, and finish with cilantro and scallions. In traditional Chinese medicine, lamb is very good, and especially when eating like lamb in winter, it's really good. It's kind of warm yourself up.
The magic lamb was so good. I've never had noodles quite like that. They were thick, they were slippery.
It was the choose your own adventure of noodles. You got to choose whether you wanted some noodles, some goji berry, which gave you such great options for texture and flavor.
The dates, the goji berries, the cilantro, all mixed together, it was really good.
The second thing would be a cold noodle, which is called Sichuan spicy cold noodle. First, we gotta make the noodle, obviously, and then we cook it, but this time we gotta rinse the noodle with cold water. Just try to kind of like make the noodle cold, and then we garnish with julienne cucumber, soybeans, and hand-pulled chicken breast, and then finish with the spicy paste and the chili oil, then garnish with scallions.
The Sichuan spicy cold noodle was a really interesting experience. I had never had a cold noodle before. The first thing I noticed was how fresh it was. You could tell that that noodle was just made. And it was cold. That made it refreshing.
It was a huge contrast from the lamb, because the lamb was slippery and thick, whereas the Sichuan was slimmer and a lot stickier. So you really had to pull to get those noodles out. But when you did, it was fantastic. You got a little bit of peanut flavor, you got a little bit of Sichuan sauce flavor, and you got this chicken broth flavor that's in there, despite there not being any broth.
The last thing will be a snack, which is called peppercorn chicken. This thing is very popular in China. We're gonna marinate the chicken thigh first, and then we wrap the chicken thigh with some tapioca flour and some panko. All the flavor comes from the marinade. That's how we cook the popcorn chicken.
Wow, the popcorn chicken was amazing. The sauce mixed with the marinade of the chicken. It was a flavor explosion.
It's a plum sauce, but it's not a plum sauce. It's just this amazing Thousand Island mixture of plum sauce and savory chicken goodness that just takes over your body.
Best popcorn chicken, probably best chicken I've ever had. It was really good. So a cool fact, in Toronto, we usually refer to Japanese noodles as ramen, but today we found out that the Mandarin word is lamen, and it literally means pulled noodle. How's that for food for thought? We're here at Magic Noodle with Ming. Ming, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome, and it's my pleasure to have you guys here.
How did Magic Noodle start?
At that moment, our founders kind of feel like there's no noodle place in this industry, in Toronto. So he find it like it was an opportunity to open such kind of restaurant, because basically we're making hand-pulled noodle, which is very cool, and nobody does that actually. So he just feel like, oh, we may have a chance to introduce the different type of noodle of Chinese cuisine.
What makes pulled noodles different from normal noodles?
I think the biggest difference is like hand pulled noodle is more tender and more flexible. When you kind of eat it, you can feel that texture is so different. People constantly ask us like, what's the difference between Japanese noodle and a Japanese ramen and a Chinese ramen? For my opinion, I think actually, the ramen is originally from China, and the ramen, if you translate to Chinese, literally means hand-pulled ramen, because ramen in Chinese is like la mian. La means pull, and mian means noodle. So actually, ramen is from China, so it's kind of like, I think the another difference is like the broth, the stock that we make. For Japanese ramen, it's more heavy and creamy, but our stock is like fresh and light, not that greasy. I think that's the biggest difference between Chinese ramen and Japanese ramen.
This place is amazing. I love it. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. You're very welcome. And enjoy the food.
So that was our trip to the Magic Noodle. I thought the whole like ramen thing was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Just a different language of kind of saying the same thing or describing the same thing, and them sounding, despite it being from a different country, them sounding very similar. But awesome place. You got kids in university. You're in the U of T area. Great option to go hit up. So yeah, good times. But anyways, the fun week, Song of the Summer. You let us know if what you think the song of the summer is. So feel free to reach out to us on social media. We will likely give you a shout out in our next episode to say we have a new winner.
Yeah.
Or a contender. Or somebody sent us a really lousy Song of the Summer, but we're going to put it on the list anyways.
And the 40 people who actually listen to our podcast.
Exactly. Thank you. For the dozens of folks that are out there.
Thank you.
Or the dozen of folks.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
We do, in all honesty, we do appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this at the end, wow.
Yes, if you made it this far, you've won something.
Yeah.
And that is my respect.
Well, not that.
And my love.
Yeah, maybe your love.
Yes, my love and respect.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's a year.
Thanks.
But we do appreciate you, and actually it seems like we do have a very committed following, but it's a small following, but a very committed following. So we do appreciate you listening to
and
us.
If this 14 is our bots... We like you too.
Yes, exactly. If there are 14 robots listening to our podcast, we hope you enjoyed. Feel free to leave some comments or some suggestions to us. Anyways, that was this episode of What We Dig. You can check us out on YouTube if you want to see some of the food in pictures. We are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. You can reach out to us on all major social media platforms. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, my name is Laird.
I'm Rafi.
And we will see you next time.